Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Green Vampire by J.S. Kennedy. Narrated by Justine Eyre. Prologue. The Arena. Standing beside Lucan, my senses tingled. So many people. The fighting was done, and everyone who stormed the arena to save me was celebrating. Lucan laid a hand on my arm and steered me through the crowds and towards one of the ground-level doors. Curtis had requested our presence in the VIP box, and I didn't want to keep him waiting. As we walked through the throng of people, I found I recognized most of the faces. Rhys, Quinn's Fenris cousin, and Liz, one of the lifers from the guild. Sam had a hand on Liz's arm, and it looked like he was keeping her from racing over. I waved, and she beamed, her arms flailing in delight. But there were also strangers mixed into the crowd, like the woman with thunderstorm gray eyes built like an Amazon. Beside her, a man, half a head shorter, pushed up on his toes and whispered in a voice too low to hear. I glanced over my shoulder, the mixed group putting me on edge. A familiar energy brushed against me, and the tiny hairs on the back of my neck prickled. Turning in a tight circle, I scanned the arena. "Where are you? Where are you?" I chanted, desperately trying to locate the source of the power, half afraid it was a phantom memory. Lucan glanced at me from out of the corner of his eye, and his mouth split into a massive grin. As if knowing exactly who I was looking for, he put his hands on my shoulders and spun me to face the most beautiful sight in the world. From across the sand, Brooke raced toward me, tears streaming down her face, a long staff of dark wood with a glowing yellow core clutched in one hand. When and where the hell did she learn to use a weapon? All my siblings knew how to hone their magic into weapons at need, and Tyr and Alec had both trained with daggers when they were young. But I hadn't pushed Connor or Brooke to learn. The sight of my sister holding a physical weapon had my gut clenching. The thought barely had time to form before it was ejected from my head, and I stopped thinking rational thoughts. Tearing my hand from Lucan's, I dashed across the pit as fast as my tired, battered body would let me. Brooke and I collided with a thud, and I held her as tears soaked my shirt. The staff made no sound as it hit the sandy floor. Brooke's arms wrapped around my waist with a crushing force, her body shaking with the violence of her sobs. Ignoring the pain from my bruises, I clutched her tightly and gently rubbed my hands across her back. "Didn't your trainer teach you never to drop your weapon?" I teased, my voice thick. She ignored the jest, burrowing deeper into my chest. Softening my voice, I crooned, "Hush now. It's all right. You're safe. I'm here." What were meant to be soothing words of comfort only caused her distress to increase, and in between her heaving gasps, she choked out, "I am so sorry. It's all my fault. Please don't hate me." My heart melted. "Oh, baby, you're wrong. It's not your fault. Ben messed with your mind and preyed on your trust. He lied to you and wormed his way in. I could never hate you." "But the feelings were mine. Alec told me so." I wanted to strangle Alec for telling her that, and we would have words after I suffocated him with a hug. But I knew why he'd done it. It was better that the truth came from us, instead of being a weapon an enemy could use against Brooke in the future. Now she could truly heal, knowing I forgave her youthful resentment. "Hey," I nudged her back a bit so I could see her face. "We all have ugly thoughts from time to time. It's human nature. Think back to before you met Ben. Did you hate the rules so much? Did you want to rebel the way you did?" Brooke scrunched her nose as she thought back to the time before she'd met the Mind Mage. I wouldn't be surprised if those memories were fuzzy. Ben's magic had messed with her feelings in a way that could cloud the past. Altering memories and planting the thoughts and feelings that Mage wanted someone to have wasn't done without consequence. After a few moments, she shook her head. "No, I didn't understand why you were such a stickler for the rules and paranoid all the time. And I admit the restrictions chafed, but it wasn't terrible. See?" I smoothed the hand over her hair, purposely ignoring the shortness of the locks for now. Ben's ability took even the smallest hint of negative emotion and twisted it until it was a great, overwhelming force. I cupped her face with my hands, and she leaned into the touch. "But you started fighting back," I said, wiping away a stray tear that leaked from her amber eyes. "Because if you'd succumbed to his magic, you would have been standing proudly beside him in that field, not kneeling. Ben wouldn't be able to resist the chance to have you willingly by his side, betraying me. It would have cut deeper than the sharpest blade, and he knew that." Some of the weight lifted off her shoulders, and she buried her face in my shirt, purging a portion of the grief, pain, and self-loathing she'd bottled up for far too long. Wisps of Lucan's magic brushed against my shield, stopping his magic from reaching me. As Brooke's sobs died down, I raised an eyebrow over my shoulder. Lucan grinned softly.
"We have an agreement."
Brooke disentangled herself from my arms, and I fought the urge to keep her wrapped in my embrace. Instead, I gave her a reassuring smile. "You are one of the most important people in my life. I don't regret my choices that day, because they meant you and your brothers stayed free. I'd make the same choice again. No regrets." Brooke ducked her head and shuffled her feet. Tipping her face up with a finger under her chin, I really looked at her. She was taller than I remembered, the top of her head even with my jaw instead of tucking under it. I glanced at her feet. "Nope, it's not the boots. She's definitely taller." Gone was the child I knew. She had always been thin and reedy, with the willowy grace of a dancer, though her light, airy dresses and flowing locks had always given her an innocent look her siblings lacked. Seeing her now in combat leathers, with hard muscle defining her arms that matched a new hardness in her eyes, I realized she was no longer the youth she'd been, but a young woman coming into her own. My heart skipped a beat, and my vision narrowed. She's changed so much. She's harder, stronger. I battled the maelstrom that gripped me. Would I know this new Brooke at all, or would she be a stranger? Unable to deal with the fear threatening to swamp me, my brain-to-mouth filter failed, and I blurted out, "What the hell happened to your hair?" Brooke loved her golden tresses beyond reason. At their longest, they'd cascaded down her back almost to her knees, and she'd developed a complicated care routine to keep the ridiculously impractical hairstyle neat and tidy. Even when it tangled and she cursed a storm, it had been her pride and joy. Now, her hair rose a mere 2 inches off her skull, and I couldn't imagine the emotional upheaval that had caused her to destroy her treasured locks. Brooke looked away, unable to meet my eyes. Faintly, I heard her mumble one word under her breath. "Penance." Oh, kiddo, she would get through this. Now that I was home, I wouldn't allow any other outcome. After leaving the arena, we went to the hotel where my siblings and Lucan were staying. The plan was to catch a few hours of sleep before heading back to Green River. But I barely made it through the door before I crashed. My body weighed 1,000 pounds, and I couldn't keep my eyes open no matter how hard I tried. Stumbling blindly in the dark, unable to wait for anyone to turn on a light, I barely made it to the bed before flopping down on the covers and passing out. What felt like moments later, a beam of sunlight from where the curtains didn't quite meet slashed across my face, and I blinked. Mind shrouded by sleep, I swiped at the annoying ray, as if that would get rid of it. No such luck. There was never any light in my cell. What the hell is going on? Then it hit me. Yesterday wasn't a dream. I was free. I would no longer wake up surrounded by darkness. Too comfortable to move, I looked to the left. Unidentifiable lumps sprawled on the bed adjacent to me. Turning my head right with a great effort of will, I came face to face with Lucan. His eyes blinking in that slow, uneven way of the newly awakened. He was slouched in a chair, his feet perched on the bed, and his clothes rumpled where his arms crossed his chest. He'd changed at some point into a soft-looking blue shirt and black pants, and the dust from the arena was gone from his skin. Blinking faster, he bolted up straight.
"Morning, sleepyhead."
My mouth felt like the sand of the arena, and I licked my lips. Not that it helped. Grabbing a glass of water off the table beside him, Lucan pressed it to my lips.
Drink slowly. You've been out for a while, and your stomach might not like too much all at once.
Nodding, I gripped the glass with slightly shaky hands and took a few sips. Slowly, I drained the cup. How long? I asked when I could finally speak.
About 30 hours, Lucan replied.
I looked down at my clothing. Someone had stripped me of my battle gear and stuffed me into a t-shirt softened with age and a pair of shorts that were far too large for my hips. My brows furrowed. As if guessing my thoughts, Lucan said,
After Alec checked to make sure you didn't have any life-threatening injuries, Brooke changed you into something more comfortable.
Guess I was tired. Eloquence, thy name is Mackenzie. Lucan chuckled.
That's an understatement. You were dead to the world. The kids had kittens for a bit until Alec declared that between the magic you expended, your constant state of fear and stress over the last 7 months, the reforging of your familiar bond, and the formation of a mate bond, your body decided enough was enough.
I snapped into a sitting position, the lethargy in my muscles gone as a jolt of adrenaline surged through my system. That's right, the mate bond. I'd forgotten about the tether binding me to Lucan, and now that I was aware, I could feel the hum of it in my chest, next to my heart. No feedback from him came through, not like I had felt yesterday, and that worried me. I rubbed the spot next to my heart. What happened to it? Why did it change? Why can't I feel you anymore? Lucan's smile was soft and warm, but there was a tightness around his eyes.
You locked it down before you crashed. I know you're there, but I'm not getting anything else.
I frowned and searched the construct. Examining it closer, I could feel what I'd done. Our bond was like a braided rope with several strands woven together. I'd pinched all those strands, blocking information from coming and going. What should we be feeling? I asked hesitantly. Lucan tilted his head to the side.
It's different for every pair, but when our bond first formed, I could tell how much pain you were in, where your energy levels were at.
That didn't seem so bad.
But that's not the core of our bond, more like a secondary aspect.
He rubbed his hands down his face and stared at the covers.
It seems the old god thinks we need help communicating because what came through the most were your emotions. Not only the surface ones, but all the little nuances that go with it. Thankfully, a general understanding of what those emotions meant was part of the package.
A tiny bit of awe echoed in his voice, and my heart clenched. Our bond was this beautiful thing, and I took it away from him. Lucan reached across the space between us and laid a hand on top of mine.
It's okay. We'll figure it.
I'm not doing it on purpose, I blurted out, then slapped my hands over my mouth. While I still couldn't tell who was who, I could only guess that the lumps I'd spotted earlier were my siblings, and I didn't want to wake them. This was a private conversation, and I wasn't quite ready for them to butt in. If Lucan and I kept our tones low, we wouldn't be disturbed.
I know, Lucan soothed. We will figure it out.
I poked at the construct that connected me to Lucan. It was strong and bright and unwavering. Stones sat heavy in my stomach. As paranoid as I was, it only made sense that I wasn't ready for the full brunt of a mating bond, especially with a man I didn't really know. If you added up all the time Lucan and I had spent together, when we weren't fighting or throwing barbed jabs at each other, it had been less than a week, and most of that was us playing a part. I might know the core of who Lucan was, but there was so much about the man I hadn't yet unraveled. Then again, I probably knew more about him than I realized. I'd unwittingly learned a lot about Lucan's family during my hunt for Sky, but with the simple stuff, like his favorite color or what he did for fun, I had no clue. I vaguely remembered playing a game of 20 questions with him at one point, but the memory was hazy, the information lost. For this to work between us, I needed to get to know Lucan better. Then the words Lucan had said in the arena came to mind, and I calmed. Lucan had promised that if either of us wanted out, there was a way to sever the bond. For now, if he could put up with me going slow, I was willing to try. A groan sounded from the bed next to me, and the further of the two lumps in the bed sat up in a state of panic. Alex's eyes snapped toward my bed, as if reassuring himself I was still there. When he saw I was awake, he threw the arm draped across his waist aside and crashed to the floor, the sheets tangling around him in his haste. Grunting and cursing in two distinct tones drifted up from the floor on the far side of the bed. The other lump from the bed started shaking, and muffled laughter rose up from a now identifiable Quinn. The griffin rolled over to where his mate was struggling. A rip sounded as he split the blanket, freeing Alec. My brother surged up and kissed him on the cheek before racing around the room, kicking a lump on the couch as he passed. The lump groaned. Alec stuck his head into what must have been the bathroom and said something in a voice that didn't carry. He was at my side seconds later. Guess our private chat would have to wait.
How long has she been awake?
Alec demanded, his hands emitting a bluish light as they hovered above my arm.
May I?
He asked me, a desperate plea in his gaze. I nodded.
Not long, Lucan replied.
As he laid his hand on my forearm, I felt the cool pulse of Alec's magic travel through my body.
Mackenzie!
Connor's husky voice echoed, his head popping up from behind the bed, his eyes glassy with sleep. A bruise was forming on his cheek where I assumed Alec had landed on him. I smiled at the sight. Connor was the largest of my brothers. Even sitting, he couldn't mask his size. Dark skin, the color of ebony, made his multi-hued metallic eyes pop. It was as if someone had threaded strands of copper, gold, silver, and bronze together, and then twisted them into a circle. Hair cropped close to his scalp, and a hint of a beard made him look far older than his 18 years. A blacksmith by trade and magic, his arms were bulky from hours spent at the forge, and when he came to stand beside Alec, I got a whiff of molten metal. He smelled the same as always, and I greedily breathed him in. Pushing Alec aside, Connor pulled me into a tight hug.
You can't do that to us again. I won't let you. I refuse to hide anymore, and I will use all my power to skewer anyone who tries to hurt this family.
No promises, I said, because I didn't make vows I might not be able to keep. Tyr pushed into a sitting position and ran a hand through his unruly hair. The dark strands melted through his fingers like water. His tan skin, large eyes with impossibly long lashes, and his coal black hair matched his twins, though Tyr's hair was shorter, and he was an inch taller than Alec. He stood, his eyes blazing with red, orange, and a faint wisp of blue, like a living flame. There was something different about my quietest sibling, and I couldn't put my finger on it. Was it the way he moved? His expression as he stalked toward me? The guardian walked with him. Had the two merged? Had he finally tamed his magic? Coming over to stand beside Lucan, Tyr knelt.
Alpha, he breathed,
and a tiny sliver of tension leached off his shoulders.
Hello, Tyr, guardian. Are you well?
Tyr's eyes met mine, and there was a flash in their depths that I didn't understand.
We will be.
That wasn't the reassurance I wanted to hear, and it was made worse when Lucan's attention snapped to him. Lucan didn't say anything, but I could see his mind working. Something was going on, and I would find out whether they wanted me to know or not. Brooke stumbled out of the bathroom, breaking the tension. You're awake, she yelled, and flung herself on my bed, kicking two of her brothers in the gut as she did so. Her face was washed and clean, her makeup artfully applied, and her short hair styled. She'd taken time to become presentable before greeting me, and I couldn't help but smile. This was a little piece of the old Brooke, and I was happy it had survived. Alec finished his assessment.
She's fine.
Everyone in the room exhaled. I could have told you that, I snapped, miffed that no one had thought to ask.
You have a tendency to make light of your injuries, Quinn said from where he reclined against the headboard on the other bed.
I scowled at him. I'm not that bad. He met my eyes with his cool golden ones. I blinked first, then looked away. The others laughed, but it was forced and strained. The fright went out of me, and fatigue settled back in. I yawned. How am I still tired?
Your body and spirit went through a lot. It's going to take time to adjust and recover, Alec replied. It's early morning. We can get on the road after you take a nap.
He fondly ran a hand down my hair. It was an odd gesture from my younger brother, but soothing. I didn't reply, sleep already dragging me down. Leaning down, Alec whispered into my ear,
"You have a home with Quinn and me for however long you need."
Then a note of teasing entered his voice.
"But keep an open mind. You might get a better offer sooner than you think."
Chapter 1. I bolted upright. Light had barely begun to creep into the window above my bed, and the hairs on the back of my neck prickled. I'd crashed in one of Alec's spare bedrooms last night, and the small space barely had enough room for a single bed, nightstand, and a dresser. But it was luxurious compared to the accommodations provided during my captivity. A shadow shifted in the doorway to my left. I wasn't alone. Lashing out, I managed to stop my fist an inch away from Lucan's nose. "You're lucky I didn't break it," I deadpanned. Lucan gave me a boyish grin, his eyes full of laughter.
"You would never hit me."
Hauling back, I punched his shoulder. "Never, huh?" I teased. I'd tempered my strength, so the blow was more of a love tap than an actual hit. His fingers twitched, and he glanced out the window.
"Get up, get dressed, and meet me downstairs. I have a surprise for you."
Without waiting for me to agree, he left the room, closing the door behind him. A short time later, we were walking down a snowy path, barely visible from the house. Calling it a path was generous. It was more a deer trail than anything. Lucan had covered my eyes with a scarf, the material soft and warm against my face, and a slight hint of ozone wafted off it. My foot skidded, and I adjusted, Lucan's hand under my elbow bracing me until I was steady. Reaching up, I caressed the soft fabric. 2 days ago, allowing my vision to be impaired would have had me hyperventilating, my body instinctively tensing at the lack of light. During my captivity, darkness had been used to punish me, to keep me on edge and always guessing. I wasn't sure if I would ever be comfortable in the dark again. But today, the warm hands on my arm were familiar, and Lucan's constant murmurs of,
"Watch out for that hole," and "Take a step to the left,"
reminded me that I wasn't heading off on a mission that would force me to kill, or back into that cold cell with no windows. Instead, I was sloshing my way towards some sort of surprise that had reduced Lucan to a 5-year-old on Christmas morning.
"Almost there," Lucan murmured against my ear for the third time. "Watch your step. There's a root sticking up."
My magic alerted me to the hazard before Lucan spoke. Feeling vulnerable in the darkness, I'd spread out my web to compensate, a compromise Lucan had readily agreed to. A construct of spirit magic, and one of the two abilities I had that didn't fall within the domain of my earth elemental powers, my web allowed me to sense life around me. What it couldn't show me were the rocks that littered the path, hence Lucan's steadying hand and muttering guidance. If I fell flat on my face, my shields, the other ability of spirit magic I possessed, couldn't protect me. In order to use my web, I had to draw my shields tightly into my core. Confidently, I stepped over the root and almost turned an ankle on the rock hidden on the other side. "Hellfire and damnation," I spat out. Lucan chuckled, and I whipped my head in his general direction. He couldn't see it, but I was glaring hard at him from beneath the veil. Coughing to hide his amusement, he ushered me down the path.
"It will be well worth it, promise."
I took a deep breath, letting the cool, crisp air fill my lungs and cleanse my soul. Inside, my earth magic danced in delight, bombarding me with a dormant life vibrant in the trees, the flower bulbs buried deep in the earth, and the grass waiting for spring. "We've been walking forever," I complained, but a smile tugged at my lips.
"Not far now," Lucan whispered, unwilling to break the moment with a louder sound.
The brush of his breath across my cool skin sent shivers up my spine. It had been about 10 minutes since we'd left Alex's home, not that the distance warranted the time. If I had been able to see, I was sure we'd have finished the trek much sooner, but Lucan was being weird and didn't want to ruin one moment of his surprise. Lucan suddenly stopped moving, and my arm flailed as his hand gently tugged on the other one. My foot slipped again, and I would have tumbled to the ground if it weren't for my finely honed reflexes.
"Sorry," he said, his tone sheepish. "I probably should have warned you."
"A warning would have been nice," I snarked, then sniffed the air. The faint smell of wood smoke entered my nostrils. Electric butterflies danced in my stomach. I really didn't like surprises. They never ended well for me. I gave the building tension an outlet by shifting my weight from foot to foot.
"Wait here."
He began to remove his hand from my arm.
"And don't peek."
I huffed in mock annoyance. I might hate surprises, but I would never ruin one that someone had put so much effort into planning. Scrunching my nose, I squinted my eyes shut behind the cloth and ignored the dread curling in my stomach. Beside me, Lucan hesitated. He wasn't getting anything from the bond. It was still locked down tight. But he sensed my unease, and I could clearly picture his eyes narrowing, judging if I would be okay if he stepped away. Plastering an innocent smile on my face, I chuckled when I heard him groan.
"I know you're humoring me, but for now I'll take it."
The boyish excitement returned. The cold air bit my cheeks, and I listened closely as he trudged a few steps away. The sound of crunching snow grew fainter, and the bright spot he'd created in my mind blinked out as it hit the edge of the circle established by my web. My heart jerked, and anxiety clawed at my throat for a different reason. Unable to hear him, I fought the desperate urge to rip off the blindfold, to see for myself that he wasn't leaving me, that this wasn't all a dream. Intellectually, I knew Lucan was only moving into a better position to unveil his surprise. Oh, how I hate surprises. But my brain wasn't in the driver's seat now, or at least not the rational part. I was driving wholly on instinct, and it wasn't a good thing. My face hadn't changed. I'd spent too long keeping my outward appearance under strict control for it to show anything but calculated calm. With my shields down and my web out, his magic might have picked up on any emotions I'd leaked, but I was good at hiding those, too. Too freaked out, I'd forgotten I could simply extend my web. Before my fear morphed into full-blown panic, Lucan returned. He ripped off the blindfold.
"Open your eyes,"
he commanded, his voice tinged with the gravelly, deep notes of his dragon core. I obeyed and met the translucent sapphire of his gaze. His dirty blonde hair was long enough to brush the top of his eyes. Instantly, the rising panic fizzled out. Red flushed my cheeks as embarrassment entered every cell of my body. Ignoring my shame, he said,
"I'm sorry. That was dumb of me. I'm right here. I'm not leaving you."
He caressed my cheek with his finger. The tactile grounding, combined with his voice, drove away the last edges of my panic. The dark, feral part of me, the one I was slowly accepting, whispered, "What will you do when he gets tired of dealing with a broken mate?" Squashing the voice ruthlessly, I shoved it away. My subconscious might have a stranglehold on the bond right now, but I didn't want to take even the slightest chance that my doubts would reach Lucan. He would blame himself for my lack of faith and would drive himself to ruin trying to prove me wrong. He wasn't the problem. I was. And I was determined to be better for him and for me. "And if we fail," she asked. "Then we let him go," I told her. Lucan promised there was a way. I would not doom him to a life with a broken mate. My breath hitched at the thought of leaving him, and it took every ounce of willpower I possessed not to step away and protect myself from a fate I feared. Once my breathing was back under control and some of the stiffness had eased from my shoulders, Lucan stepped back, his eyes twinkling.
"On a positive note, the bond isn't completely shut down. When you feel something strongly, wisps of it make it through."
Looking him in the eyes, I smiled. "That's good," I replied, and noted that the sneaky man had used his body to block my view. He was still determined to have his moment. His dedication, to my surprise, stirred up the electric butterflies.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?